What a great morning. We're having a good morning here at the station, talking about everything under the sun, most of which you don't want to hear. Kind of stupid stuff. Oh, well. Anyway, I had a rough couple of nights trying to think what I was going to talk about today. So it's going to be kind of eclectic, if that's the right word. We're going to be all over the place, not clear on anything. One of the things I did want to mention, I heard this morning on one of the talk shows that August 7th, Saturday, is Clear the Shelter Day. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could get all the dogs and cats out of the shelter and give them homes rather than having euthanized, which is a really sneaky word for saying killing them. I hate the idea that we have to kill so many animals. I'm a big animal lover. I must tell you that my dog is 15 years old. I sleep on the couch now so that she won't jump out of the bed and break a leg or something. She can get down off the couch, but she can't get down off my bed. Really struggle to give her everything in her old life that I can. And I hope that you will think about running out to the dog shelter or the animal shelter and looking at some of the animals. Maybe you'll find some little buddy that will take care of you. Anyway, yesterday, crazy, crazy day on the stock market. And one of the things that I'd like to talk about, and believe me, I am not a stock market person. I know very little about the stock market. I have a 401k that I follow pretty closely, just about daily. And I'm told that I shouldn't look at it daily. And I don't look at it with fear. I'm not one of those persons that goes, oh, my goodness, I lost $1,200 yesterday, which I did, by the way, because the market dropped 800 points. But that doesn't bother me. I'm pretty certain that it'll at least gain back some of that. But one of the things that really does bother me is that our commander-in-chief claims victory all the time when the market is good and when it's great, what he did for the market. And it just annoys the heck out of me that he will claim victory when it's up. But when it drops 800 points, he blames everybody but himself for the problem. I just think that's wrong. When I was a kid, I did that. Now, as an adult, I accept my failures. I don't like them, but I accept them. And he accepts no failure. And believe me, as far as I know, he's had a lot of failures. But he lies so much about different things that you really can't tell what's a failure and what's a success. I don't think I have looked through his lies and found too many successes that he's had. I'm going to leave that up to you, though. It's your choice, not mine. I will make my choice when I go into the voting booth. And I'm pretty sure you know which way I'll go. But, wow, I just get so irritated when we blame other people for things that we take credit for when it's good and we blame other people when it's bad. I never liked kids that did that in school, and I don't like politicians that do that in public. And believe me, the market's going to keep on varying up and down, up and down. Now, they're talking about recession now, which would be horrible for this administration, because about the only thing he's standing on anymore is how good the market is doing. Well, the market is doing good. It has done well, not yesterday, but we're only up, 2.5%, something like that, it was expected the GDP was going to be up 4 or even 5%, and that was going to pull us all out of the doldrums and pay for those rich guys' tax breaks. I don't think it's going to make it. Okay, let's get off politics. The program is called A Progressive Life, And the reason why it's called that is because I think that's what I've done throughout my life. I was a Republican for the first half of my life, and I happen to be obviously a Democrat now. And there are people that don't like me that will call me a socialist or a progressive. They find all sorts of euphemisms to say about people like me. But in fact, I just want to move forward. It has nothing to do with being a socialist. And if you look at our government, the way it's been for 200 and some years, we have been socialistic in many of our ways. And I'm not going to go into them. It just gets to be old hat. There are several things. Government help in, the tax break. Government help in the industries that have gotten ahead, government help in farms. There's all sorts of things that could be considered socialism. But what it is concern by our government, I hope, concern by our government for our fellow Americans, trying to help everybody achieve the American dream. That's the direction I think we should go. Helping everyone achieve the American dream. I wanted to mention, don't forget that tonight at 6 p.m., the doors open at 5:30, Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, she was the Chief Justice for the Ohio Supreme Court, will be speaking, and she will do the opening remarks at the Marion Palace Theater, and that's tonight at 6 o'clock. She's going to be talking about the drug courts. And, of course, we all know the problems about drugs in Ohio. I think somebody told me that Dayton might be one of the worst cities for the opioid problems in America. But I don't want to cast dispersions upon Dayton. They've had enough trouble this past week. I'm kind of was dreaming, if you're a regular listener, you know that yesterday I talked about my dreams for Marion and what would happen if I won the $400 million lottery and how I'd use the money to help Marion out. And we had lots of different ideas, and I had other people mention after the show, not on the show, mentioned to me what they would do, and I appreciate that. My wife said she would wish that I would think more about the family, but I pointed out the first thing I would do is take care of my family. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Now, that's the problem when you get older, and I know they've been advertising that medicine that'll make us old people have better memories. I've had a bad memory all my life. One of the reasons why I quit being an actor, I was an actor for a couple of years after I got out of college, and one of the reason why I decided I couldn't do that is I couldn't memorize lines. The chief skill that an actor has, I think, is memorizing the lines so that you can recite them without any concern, as if they're your own words. I just could not memorize the lines. I would memorize the meaning of the lines and then basically say it in my own words. That's not acceptable if you're going to be an actor. So I thought about one of the things I started to think about, other than what I would do for Marion, is I also started to think about shows of what we can do, what we can talk about in the future. One of the things I really like to talk about is our ecology. There are all sorts of opportunities online, and I would caution you that nothing comes free. But there are all sorts of opportunities to put in solar panels and stuff like that for nothing. Make sure, boy, I've got needed a little bit more coffee this morning because my throat is kind of sore. One of the things I caution you on is if it says it's free, it's probably, I would almost say it's not. One of the things I used to do at the credit union is answer questions from people who would call up and say, I had the opportunity, I'm going to win, get 800 or, you know, I'm going to get $1 million from the from such and such a contest, and I wanted to put them in your credit union. How can I do it? Well, I would point out to them, how do you know you won $1 million? Well, I got an email that told me I won $1 million. All I have to do is send a few thousand dollars to this account, and they will put it right into whatever account I choose. Please be careful. If you didn't enter, you didn't win. And that's one of the pieces of advice that I gave an awful lot of people. If you didn't enter, you didn't win. Don't even follow it up. I think there are rules like that that should be posted everywhere money is involved. So let's get back to some of the ideas that I thought maybe we'd talk about. I'd like to talk about ecology. The ecology, I am interested in, two young men are making bracelets to help them clean up the ocean. I think that's a neat idea. But again, those bracelets cost $20. I know the money supposedly is going towards cleaning up, and it's not a cheap thing to get a boat and go out on the ocean and clean it up. I understand that. But be very careful on things like that. $20 is not going to break you, probably, but $20 is a lot of money for a bracelet. Let's hope that those two young men are legitimate, and I'm going to assume that they are. But ecology recycling and that sort of thing. Now there's talk that a lot of the recycling is basically, they're not really recycling. They're taking your recycling stuff and throw it in the garbage, throwing it in a dump. Now let's make sure that our recycling is going to be recycled. I'm going to have a speaker on, I hope in the near future, that will talk to those problems. You know, one of the problems I've had, and maybe you have an answer to this, and if you do, the phone number here, by the way, is 740-383-9944, 740-383-WWGH. Maybe you have an answer to this. I'm trying to find a place. I have a lot of old light bulbs, not the incandescent type, but the swirly ones, the ones with the I think they were fluorescent, but they had a little spiral on the inside of them, and they won't take those in recycling. You're not supposed to throw them in your trash. So I've got several of those sitting in my garage saying, where are we supposed to go? And I cannot find a place to get rid of those safely. I suppose I could do like a lot of people and just go out in the forest and throw them into the forest. I am not going to do that, and you should not do that. All they do is sit there for thousands of years and scare bunny rabbits. Another thing I'd like to talk about. We have several hundred, and for some reason or other, the number of 164 sticks in my head, but I think that's probably wrong. But we have dozens and dozens of national parks. And one of the neat things about national parks, especially for those of us who are a little long in tooth, we were able to buy, and I think Trump has decided that it's not, he's not going to allow it, but my wife and I were able to buy a lifetime pass. And when you're a senior, the lifetime is a lot shorter than if you're a 10-year-old. But a lifetime pass to go to any national park We had to pay, I think, $10, but we have that in our car, and we can go to any national park and drive in. Now, if you want to camp there, you probably have to pay for the camping and stuff like that, but you can get in. And I would like to do a show on national parks and what are fun national parks to go to, which national parks you have been to. The one that everybody thinks about is Yellowstone. And Yellowstone, I've been there twice, and I absolutely loved going to Yellowstone. But there are an awful lot of national parks that are fun to go to. My wife and I, on the way back from California, not this time, but the time before, stopped at two or three of them. We went to one, New Mexico or Arizona, and it had a lot of balanced rocks. They were balanced on top of big, tall, brown pedestals of sandstone, and that it was just amazing. It wasn't as beautiful as, well, like we did go to the Grand Canyon, which is absolutely breathtaking, and it's not as beautiful as Yellowstone, which a bear may walk up to you and tap you on the shoulder and ask you for something to eat. Don't give it to them. They're not supposed to be fed. And if it taps you on the shoulder, you might be dinner. So be very careful. But and this park, I wish I could remember the name of it, but my wife and I spent probably 3 or 4 hours there, just, and we were in a hurry to get to the next motel. So, but it was beautiful. But I'm going to try to find out ways to have a nice show about the national parks. And my son just texted me. Anyway, I'd like to do a show on most of the national parks, which this administration is trying to cut back on the funding for the national parks. But most of the national parks are out west, you know, out where those stupid liberals live. A lot of them are in California. And I'm not saying that's why he wants to cut back on it, but it is kind of interesting and maybe a little bit in the ballpark. But a lot of them, I would say most of them are west of the Mississippi. But there are plenty of them to go to out here, out in the east. My wife and I actually bought a little RV trailer so that we could go to those. And then we found out how much the gas was when we attached that trailer to our car. So it's actually almost as cheap. Well, it might even be cheaper, for us to go and stay in a cheap motel. Another subject I thought we might talk about, and I know that I think Charlie has the gentleman who's the naturalist for the tall grass trail. I think he has him on once a month, and they talk about endangered species and, well, not so much endangered species, but all the species that you can see out on the tall grass trail. My wife and I walked that this past week. We walked out and probably a mile out and a mile back, along with my sister-in-law. Hi, Janet. Anyway, we walked out and saw a blue heron, which was kind of cool. We saw it in flight, and we also saw it having dinner in a little creek that runs through under the trail. We saw, what else did we? Oh, there were some beautiful yellow flowers that were in bloom. Not a whole lot of flowers in bloom, but the yellow flowers seemed to be, they might have been black-eyed Susans, I'm not sure, but they were quite beautiful. What else did we see while we were walking out? We saw I'm kind of weird this way. I love those windmills, those big giant windmills that are out there. And I have asked, do you find a lot of dead birds around here? And the people that I talked to that were mowing the grass said, no, they don't find them. That doesn't mean that they weren't picked up by some critter and had for lunch, but it isn't a giant problem that they have with those. I know that's not a natural resource, and it's not an endangered. It could be an endangered species. Well, I have a feeling that those windmills will get smaller and smaller, and be more less intrusive in our vision. But I find them fun. They always remind me of George Orwell's War of the Worlds, and I think of those things as those giant monsters giant mechanical monsters that take over the Earth for a few hours. What a great show that was. Anyway, I'd like to have a show where we talk about the animals of Ohio that are endangered. Apparently, we're going to say that grizzly bears are not endangered. That's another thing this administration is talking about doing away with. I would like to see grizzly bears be allowed the same courtesy that hunters are allowed. Either give the bear a gun or take the gun away from the hunter and make him carry a knife. That would make a fair fight. Anyway, I don't know why people want to kill animals. I really, truly do not understand that. I am not the type of person that's going to say do away with hunting. Hunting is a recreation that a lot of people enjoy, just like fishing. And as I said in either my last show or a couple shows ago, I don't mind hunting for food. I do mind hunting to cut their heads off and put it on the wall. Anyway, or cut their tails off like our president's son did of elephants. Or rhinoceros, I'm not sure which one. I just don't understand why you think that's sport. Anyway, another thing I thought about talking about today is I'm a kind of person, and I think we fall into two camps. People that love is basically a sexual component of their life, and then people like me who I just like to be in love. And I can fall in love with, a little puppy dog. I can fall in love with a drop of a hat just because a person gives me a nice smile. It's not the love of, you know, your wife or things like that, but I always have loved to be in love. And when I was younger, I really loved to be in love. I liked the feeling of being in love. And we were talking about that, and the name Marilyn Monroe popped up. And I think Marilyn Monroe was one of those people that loved to be loved. She had, seven husbands, something like that. One of them came from Marion, I'm told this morning. I didn't know that. One of the short-lived ones. I think she loved to have people love her. I think that probably caused the end of her life, unfortunately. I was really lucky as a young person when I was traveling with DePaul's basketball team. We went out and played UCLA several times, but the one time I recall, we were invited by the gentleman who was, he eventually got thrown out of the NCAA for providing money for the UCLA basketball team, but he also owned the bungalow that Marilyn Monroe died in, which I believe was in Hollywood, California. He took three or four of us administrators and a coach, and we went out and we got to see the bungalow. And it was very small. It was actually smaller than the little house that I live in right now, I believe, if my memory serves correctly. But I was able to actually sit down on the bed where she passed away. It was quite spooky. He claimed that I think it's called taffeta or something like that, the bed cover that was on it when I sat down on it was the one that she was lying on when she took her life, which made it more spooky. I always feel sorry for people that need to have that love that they're feeling that they're not getting, because it's so easy to love somebody. It's so easy. Well, even if you don't love them, it's so easy to like and be nice to people. I've been lucky. My mother and father always taught me to care about other people, no matter what. And they taught me to turn the other cheek. And you have to believe in that, though. If you just turn the other cheek because I'm turning my other cheek, that's no good. You turn the other cheek because you don't care that they've wronged you. You care about them. And I think that's an important part of life, is caring about other people. And I feel so sorry for people that have to be loved. I love being loved, but that doesn't mean I have to be loved. I just assume everybody does love me. I know my ego is way bigger than it should be. I was always loved as a kid, so I assume I'm still loved as an old white guy, old ugly white guy, with double chin and all. I enjoyed the opportunity to be able to sit on Marilyn Monroe's couch or bed, but it did make me feel a little spooky and feel sorry for Marilyn Monroe. That would be a tough life where everybody recognizes you and everybody wants to be your friend. Having spent years and years with very famous people, basketball stars and football stars and basketball and football coaches and people that were famous, being in a folk trio where I was with the people that were very famous, I always felt that would really be trouble. I was lucky in the fact that my folk trio was good and we sold a lot of record albums, but we weren't overly famous, so we could walk down the street and nobody would know who we are. But I have been around an awful lot of people who everybody knows, and everybody wants to pretend like they're your best friend. I remember one time I was having lunch with Al McGuire, basketball coach at Marquette, and also a television announcer, I guess. Dick Enberg and Howard Cosell. No, it wasn't Howard Cosell. It was another famous TV person. I was having lunch with him. I wasn't having lunch with him. I was actually walking through the lobby of the hotel, and Dick Enberg hollered over me, "Hey, Coble, come over here and have lunch with us." So I sat down, had a bite to eat with them, and we talked. And that was when I knew I was really in the in crowd. When Dick Enberg hollers at you, "Come on over," and calls you by name. We sat and we talked, and people, one after another, would come over and want an autograph and talk to and pretend like they were best friends with either Al or Dick, or I can't remember who the third person was. I thought to myself, how annoying that was. And I was in my young 30s then, and my guess is that was when I decided I was not going to be one of those people. I will see somebody on an elevator that I absolutely know I should know, and I may or may not know them, but I won't impose myself on them, just because they need some private time. They know that you looked at them funny. They know that you know who they are. Most of them like being noticed, but they just get so tired of having so many people come up to them and pretend like that they're best friends, when in fact the one thing they want to go do is they either want something from you, like money or an autograph or something like that, or they want to be able to go home and tell everybody what a good friend they are now with Magic Johnson. Magic and I spent a few days together because I was at the Final Four when he played against Bird, and my team was DePaul University. And so I got to the point where he recognized that he should know who I was. We weren't friends or anything. But then I did see him one time at a sporting goods show, and I actually went around a corner and bumped into him. And I felt like such an idiot because I bumped into him. I said, "Magic, I'm Glenn Coble. You remember me?" Of course he didn't remember me. But he very courteously nodded. "Yes, he remembered me, and good to see you again," and went on. I know he didn't know who the heck I was. Anyway, but that happens all the time to those folks. And it's kind of when you're a third party watching people treat people that way, you kind of go, "Oh boy, that wouldn't be much fun." So anyway, think about that next time you bump into a celebrity. And most celebrities don't mind giving an autograph. They just don't want to be your best friend. another show I thought about doing was a show of living by the words of songs. One of my favorite lines, I think it's either Crosby, Nash, Stills, and Young, or it's, I don't remember. Anyway, they ask, "Are waitresses paying the price for their winking?" And when I go into a restaurant or a bar and I see a waitress being overly nice to somebody so that she'll get a good tip, that's her job. She wants to be nice to you because not only will she get a good tip, but that's her job. When I see them being overly nice to somebody who is taking advantage of their being a waitress, I think of those words. Are waitresses paying the price of their winking? There are all sorts of songs that have lines like that that are great words to live by. And that's the type of music I like to listen to. As a matter of fact, and I may have mentioned this on my show, I would like to develop my own funeral, which would include probably 5, 6, maybe 7 songs, and that there would be no minister. It would just be the words of 5 or 6 or 7 songs that indicate how my life has gone. "I'd Love to Dance with My Father Again" is one by Boys to Men that I would put in there. There are, well, all sorts of songs. I've even thought about doing that for other people as a moneymaker thing. And then I thought, well, no, that's just kind of stupid. And I don't have the electronic equipment to do it, nor do I have the ASCAP BMI permission to do it. But think about it. It's not a bad way to say goodbye to your friends. Develop a little, what they used to call them, some sort of tapes that you would mashups. Do a little mashup of your life. Maybe not do the whole song. Do 2 or 3 verses of a song, and then go to the next song and show what your life went through. There are all sorts of songs that would be great, and it would be a way for you to say, "This is the way I felt my life went." I just love songs that have great words. And they can be young, new songs. They can be old songs. They can be songs that tell about... I love the song California. It talks about a lady who... And it's probably Carole King or somebody like that, where she goes into the bar and she sits with an old guy who's having his Budweisers and peeling the labels from them and lighting matches that he lets burn down to his fingers, and Ventura Highway is involved in it. And my son lives not very far from that, so it kind of gives me, but I love it, just songs like that, and the words are just joyful songs of life, and that might be included in my funeral. Anyway, I think that would be a good show to talk about the words of great songs. And I'm not one of those people that can remember who wrote the song. I can't even remember what the words are exactly. So that's going to be one of those shows that I'm going to have to spend a lot of time on. Naturally, I just got a phone call from Seattle, Washington. I know no one in Seattle, Washington. I just killed it. Had a interesting discussion with Scott Spears this morning about having my voice recognized and his voice recognized. And now I can't remember the story I was going to reiterate to you. But it's kind of interesting to be recognized for your voice. Apparently this lady came up to Scott and told him he had the type of voice, a radio voice. Well, she didn't recognize that he was Scott Spears, the person that she was referring to. She said, "You sound a lot like Scott Spears." Well, he was. I've had people allow me not to sign my receipts because, "Oh, don't worry about it, Mr. Coble." And I'll say, "Well, how do you know who I am? Oh, I hear you all the time on the radio." So it's kind of interesting that people can recognize you by your voice. There are other voices that have absolutely, I have no idea who they are. And then when I hear who it is, I go, "Well, I should know that voice," but I don't. Some people's voices just have a the instant recall mechanism attached to them. It was an interesting discussion this morning with new superintendent of schools, Ron Aruski, I believe, Aruska. I'm sorry, Ron. I messed up your last name. Anyway, it was interesting to listen to him talk about the directions of the superintendent of this area, of the schools. Teachers have always been important in my life. I was a substitute teacher for a couple years. Always wanted to be a teacher. I just could not. I started in college education. I could not stand the education classes. I knew I wasn't going to like it when one of the first things my education teacher said was, "The United States of America has the greatest schools in the world." Well, I knew that that wasn't necessarily true, or at least I thought that wasn't necessarily true. But the education classes went downhill from there. Education is pilfered, or it's peppered with lots of fancy terms that mean nothing more than, look at me, I'm pretty smart, and I'm going to use all these terms. I think education should be taught by people who want to educate kids, not people that, "Well, it's the easy way to get through college," or "I want the respect of the parents," or something like that. Teachers should be as devoted to their job as my father was to the ministry, the Christian ministry, Methodist ministry. And I'm not so certain that that's true. After being a substitute as long as I was, I listened to a lot of teachers that I didn't think were terribly devoted to their children. However, I also listened to probably a vast majority of them who were devoted to their kids. For those people, I appreciate you and I thank you. But you know, other people, and we kind of talked about this off the air, other people that were involved in education, like the janitors at the schools, or the lunch lady at the schools, or the teacher's aides at the schools, or the secretary, most of them, and I would say a huge percentage of them, have joy and concern for their kids at their heart. And I've been affected. Probably my one teacher that affected me most was my sixth grade homeroom teacher, Mr. Kern, He was the first male teacher I ever had. But Mr. Kern affected me because he was our basketball and track coach and had a wonderful manner, could get you to do what he was telling you to do without using the paddle that Mr. Cooper, our principal, did use. But I had people, I had a lunch lady that was so kind to me when I was at South Bend Central, I think it was. She was so kind to me that I went through her aisle line just because I wanted to say hi to her. And she, you could tell she cared about me. You could tell she cared about most of the kids. But she and I had a warm feeling. She was probably in her late 50s, kind of a little overweight, kind of what you think of as a lunch lady, her hair up in a net. But she always had a smile, for me. And that really did affect me. We had a janitor that would help me find things if I would lose them. And I was not real good at finding where I'd put my football equipment or my violin or something like that. And he would help me a lot. Anyway, we're getting close to the end of the show, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. You've been listening to Glenn Coble, and I'm on A Progressive View. That's the name of the show. And I would like you to join me every Wednesday and Thursday from 12:15 till 1 o'clock. Next week we'll go through it again, and hopefully I will have some people that will interest you and yours. And have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World